July 12th, Glastonbury, Shamrani Didi.
Om Vishnu Pad, a stoker of the Sri Krishna, Sri Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplined succession and all the assembled devotees. So nice to see you all again and some new faces as well. So, as I mentioned yesterday, today the theme of discussion will be meditations and prayers while chanting japa and kirtan, since that's our main activity. It's the Hare Krishna movement after all. And we'll do that through the medium of the slide presentation as usual. Are you ready for the first one? So, is there any questions before we begin to do things backwards to you? About anything?
I was asking Maharaj about Chattamashtri. I was asking Maharaj about Chattamashtri, and maybe you could talk about the meaning of
chattamashtri
for us.
Right,
thank you.
Why is it, in other words, we can't eat salad for the next month?
Why do we perform these austerities?
Good question. So, chatter means four, and mas means months. There's 4 months, which in India is called the rainy season, in which one performs certain austerities with regards to what we eat and what we don't eat. Srila Gurudev answered one time, there's always so many answers to any question, Gurudev answered one time that by performing austerities for these 4 months and tasting the benefits, one becomes inclined to perform austerities for self-realization in general throughout the year. Also, at least and especially in India, also because it's the rainy season, certain bad elements get into certain foodstuffs, like special insects and bacteria get into salads and yogurts. So, it's good for health also not to take certain food items. Even doctors recommend that in this period one don't take certain food items. Also, because it's mentioned in the scriptures and it was followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and we're coming in his line, so follow the previous acharyas, also we make spiritual benefits for that. Even shaving, although in all the Indian posters we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as fully clean shaven as though he shaved that day, face and head, the Gurudev explained that he also observed Chaturmasya of not shaving for 2 months and then 2 months again. So it's following in the line of our predecessors also. And that's the best that I can do at the moment. Except that when one does avoid certain things, then it helps his bhakti because it's an injunction of the Vedas. For example, carrots. I know this is a rehashed and rehashed subject, but for example, Gurudev said that carrots give the same results as meat eating, although it's not killing an animal like meat eating is. But one becomes violent and lusty, as he does when he takes meat. Also, there was some conjecture that this only applies to Indian carrots, which are very red, but not to Western carrots, which are very yellow and orange. So, one of my godbrothers asked Gurudev on a morning walk in Toronto, and this time he came prepared and he had a carrot in Canada. And Gurudev said, yes, it's not so red like the others, so you can take, but we don't take. And then he thought, well, if he doesn't take and we have to offer it through him, then what are we eating? So the next day, again he was on a morning walk with Gurudev and he said, Gurudev, you said that, we can take, but you don't take, so how will it be prasadam? So Gurudev laughed and he said, yes, that is the question. So certain foods do certain things, like in Bhagavad Gita, and certain things do certain things at certain times, that they don't do at other times. Like if you take yogurt at night, and you're a man, it doesn't help you in celibacy. One becomes agitated. So, I think that was it. Isn't that it, Maharaj? Something like that? So, these are all injunctions from the scriptures, and we're told to be shastra, shaksus, or seeing through the eye of shastra. Shaksus means eye, and shastra is self-evident. And also to be jnana, shaksus, or seeing through the eyes of knowledge, descending knowledge, not our own made-up knowledge. Just like even in the material world, there's so much controversy as to what's good and what's not good. There's a big controversy about soy, big controversy about milk, something. So who do we accept as our authority? Gurudev and his Guru Parampara and the scriptures. Is that helpful? Yes? What's your name?
Raga.
Raga.
Okay. Just following on from that question, is there a book or a booklet about foods and their sort of what is permissible and what is appropriate to eat and times and
Well, we do have a Vaishnava calendar, a little white booklet, which shows at least for Chaturmasya and for the Akadashi. There's 2 days of the month in relation to the moon. 11 days before and 11 days...
11 days of the moon.
Of the moon. Going, waning and waxing. So that happens twice. There's 15 days the moon waxes and 15 days it wanes. So just like you see in the ocean, that from that day, Kadasi, until the full moon, and a codicy to the new moon, the water in the oceans rise towards the moon. The moon is like pulled. So that also happens in the body. So if one takes grains on that day, then it creates a bladder effect and the water can't leave the body and then becomes sick. And they have, Gurudev said they have statistics in hospitals that most patients in hospitals die within those 5 days and those 5 days. So it's a lot of 40s. So it's partly because of health.
Yeah, I mean, I understand all that you say there. Just a book of reference. Yeah.
Right, thank you, that's very good. So we have the Vaishnava little booklet, which in the introduction, it tells about Akadashi and Chaturmasya. Also, because it goes throughout the months in a different location, like it may say London, and then India, Delhi. So, because the time zones, the time changes, So different times, sometimes a different day, it ends up being a different day. So let's say you have Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami. So it'll tell you that fast all day until midnight. Another day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day, will say fast all day until moonrise. And in both those days, it'll say, and then take only Ekadasi preparations. So that booklet is very good. Also, in the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's chapter 14, which is called The Modes of Nature, and maybe in the 17 as well. And it talks about everything in the three modes. Like there's renunciation in the three modes, there's activity in the three modes, the worker in the three modes. So there's also eating in the three modes. So foods that are fatty, nourishing, and have other qualities, they're in the mode of goodness. Foods that are pungent, spicy, they're in the mode of passion, cause stress, they're in the mode of passion. Foods that are decayed, that are based on animals, products, things like meat, they're in the mode of ignorance. And they put the eater into those different modes. But for one who's a devotee and has offered all of his food to Krishna in a prescribed process, even if he's eating something with chili, which would be in the mode of passion, if it's prepared properly according to the proper ingredients that are offered to the Lord, and then one doesn't taste it, and the kitchen is clean, and he's not thinking of enjoying it before you offer it to the Lord, there's different rules and regulations of the kitchen, then it becomes transcendental and not within the mode. So, right off the bat,
that sounds good. If I could get the details, because I'd like to get, it sounds like it would be really useful for people like myself to actually have a picture based on this knowledge. It's very profound and spectacular. So
there are a lot of quote-unquote Hare Krishna cookbooks that you could probably find on Google if you just type in Hare Krishna cookbook. So many devotees. And many recipes have also come straight from our dictionary with Srila Prabhupada, so they're especially interesting. Onions and garlic are two of the foodstuffs that are in the mode of ignorance. And they also have, they bring the consciousness down to ignorance. And they also have lots of poisons. I'm trying to remember to get the whole list of the things that are wrong with them from Mata Maharaj. He can speak for an hour on them. So I think what I'll do is when I go back to India, we'll ask him for that list of poisons and how it's ignorance, and it's also, it intoxicates the brain, you can't think of Krishna very well. Then we'll look for an excuse to send it on a particular Hare Katha lecture. How it fits in.
What about eggs?
And eggs are like the embryo, like when you have a period, a lady has a period and then there's that. The egg doesn't fertilize. I don't know the science, but that's what an egg is. It didn't become a chicken, so it's very much in the mode of ignorance.
We don't eat eggs because they have chicken in them.
No, all of
them. Chicken embryos in them.
Yes, and we don't eat chickens because they have eggs.
Yeah.
It's the logic.
Right.
That's an answer if your friend's asking you. You don't eat chicken, you don't eat eggs because they have chickens in there. You don't eat chicken because they have eggs.
Are you ready to say
something?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say something?
I was just going to ask this, my question, but I think you might be speaking a little bit about it today in some way, maybe not, but just like the process of sadhana becomes bhajan, you know, the bridge approaching. I'm interested in how to make the best of the hours I spend in sadhana, you know, so that I can actually get somewhere in spiritual life.
Okay, so how to turn archan into bhajan?
Yeah.
Because sadhana can either be Vaidhi Bhakti sadhana. Sadhana means the process to reach transcendental emotions in relation to Krishna, or Bhava Bhakti, and then ultimately Prema Bhakti. Sadhana is the process to do that. And Bhava Bhakti is potential in the heart of every living entity. And that potentiality, to make it a fact, is called sadhana. So sadhan doesn't turn into bhajan. There's archan sadhan and bhajan sadhan. So archan is rules and regulations, ritualistic activities under the guidance of scriptures, which are inspired by the laws of scripture. Like, if you don't do it, you'll go to hell. You must do it because you're part and parcel of Krishna. And if the part serves the whole, then the part benefits also. So it's based on intellectual understanding, it's based on awe and reverence. You're part and parcel of God, God is great, so awe and by awe and reverence. And it's with consideration of the externals and the rules and regulations without the personal attachment. A way that we can understand that in our own life, Gurudev gave an example that the Guru comes to your city, and he's just been on a 15-hour flight, so you can imagine he's very tired. And he comes in, and everybody wants to do arati and wash his feet. So he sits down just to please everybody, and then it's already cold out, but they, just by the rules and regulations that he's supposed to offer a fan, still they're fanning him. And it's cold, still they want to wash his feet, so you have to take off his socks, but it's freezing in the room. So it's rules and regulations without considering the person. So it's the same thing with the deities. I'm going around so many times, like I have to do this 8 times around the knee, and then it's 3 times around the stomach, I forgot 3, maybe I should go back and I wonder if I should go back into the stomach because I missed one turn, and like that. Whereas bhajan is something that, say, Mother Yasoda, she's above bhajan, but her mood, say, when she's doing arti, is considered, and we can't imitate it because we don't know how Krishna is thinking, but say, for example, that Krishna comes home at night. Not at night, but late afternoon, after having herded the cows. And Mother Yasoda does arti because she's doing the lamp. And she wants to see if he has any scratches on him. And then, when you do that, you can see better. So then she sees that there's a scratch and she thinks, oh, these naughty boys, how many times have I told them not to wrestle with Krishna around the bushes? He's going to get scratched. And she takes her veil with water and she takes the conch shell and go like that. And then pour some out and then go like that to the next eater. And then we take the handkerchief and go like that. So she takes her veil and with water and wipes Krishna's marks. And meanwhile, the gopis are some distance away, and they're doing archan of Krishna with their eyes, in their amorous expression of like, where and when should we meet tonight, or we're waiting for a signal from you where we should meet, or here's where we should meet. Because in Goloka Vrindavan, eyes do a lot. Like they can speak. They can speak a volume. Are you asking me if I want water?
No, I'm asking you to put the microphone down.
Down?
Yeah.
I couldn't understand her eyes. She had to speak. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, somebody could look at somebody else and they get volumes of information. Or Rupa Manjari may just glance very quickly at Rakhi Manjari, or Radharani may quickly glance towards Rati Manjari when she's doing a performance. She and the gopis, her gopi friends, are doing a performance for Krishna in the early morning hours in the forest. They're singing and dancing. And then she sits down, and then she notices that her waist belt is missing. And she's thinking that if my sakis, Lalita and Vishaka and the others, see that my waist belt is missing, then they'll start joking with me. Oh, I know where you lost your waist belt. So then she glances at Rati Manjari, and just by the glance, Rati Manjari knows that she better go find the waist belt that Radharani left in the cave in the previous night. So she tells everybody, I'm just going to pick some flowers, I'll be right back. And she comes back while the performance is still going on. She very stealthily, you know, kneels near Radharani and very quickly and stealthily puts on the waist belt so nobody even knows that it was missing. So that's a kind of worship, like if I was to do deity worship and I was to put on Radharani's waist belt, there would be no thoughts, no moods. It's just, see, does this waist belt match the necklace? These beautiful red jewels in that, these green jewels in that, I'm not sure I like that combination. Like that's archan. The other one is bhajan, like full absorption in the person and the personal needs. That person. Or even if I'm not a participant yet, that's for a Ragatmika Bhakta, like Madhyasoda or the Gopis or Rakhi Manjari. But if I'm not a participant yet, but I'm just in, say, beginning Raghunuga Bhakti, or even before I begin it, when I'm wanting to begin it, and I'm just still on the intellectual platform, but at least I want to have the right thoughts which would match the moods, an intellectual version of the moods. So, Gurudev said in Holland in 1997 that suppose somebody's doing arti here, and they're going like that, you know, with the napkin.
Incense, napkin, whatever.
I mean, it's a word for it. So, and my fingers, and whoa, my really good pujari. Look at that. And so, that's archan. I mean, it's not even archan, it's like
false ego.
False ego. In the name of archan. So, then somebody else in the back, and nobody even knows that he's there. He's just sitting there watching that other person doing the arti. And he's weeping and he's thinking, oh, Lalita is doing the arti. Because he's absorbed in the pastime. And even the person who's doing it, if he's actually doing bhajan, he'll think Lalita is doing arti, although he's doing motion. Like, for example, when we offer foodstuffs, those who have second initiation they get special mantras. Along with their Gayatri mantras, their Diksha mantras, they get mantras for offering bhoga, which gives a special power to the offering. Like in the beginning, we were all, in the beginning, very beginning, 1967, Prabhupada gave us mantras like Namam Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, obeisances mantras to him, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then to Radha and Krishna, for when we make the offering. But he never intended that we would continue that way. And those who were actually pujaris on the altar of the temple, they would get these similar mantras that Gurudev gives when he gives diksha, initiation. But most of us just kept going with the obeisances offerings. So Gurudev said, it's like if you go to somebody and with a big plate of prasadam, you offer them, and then you offer them obeisances, and then you walk away with the plate. So every activity has an accompanying mantra that carries it to its fruition. So there's the obeisances mantra is to offer obeisances. And there's mantras for offering food. Trim, Klim, Radha Krishna, Vyam, Swaha, like that. So we can do the archan of just saying it and thinking that there's Radha and Krishna and actually I would have put on Radharani's veil a little bit differently. I'm thinking as I'm offering the thing. And well, their breath isn't so shiny now. Maybe I should give them a bath. I skipped it this week. And then, so these things are going in my mind. And then I'm saying the mantras, but maybe I'm doing something good if meditating on my spiritual master that he's actually making the offering, because I'm not qualified to make the offering. So that's better than thinking that, oh, I am making the offering to you, even though I'm a gross materialist, and you live in Goloka Vrindavan, still I'm in the illusion that I'm making the offering. Whereas better than that is thinking, I'm not qualified to make this offering, because I can't go to Goloka Vrindavan, and that's where they are. They're not really in Glastonbury. They're really in Goloka Vrindavan. They mercifully seem to be here. But the only way that I'm really going to make this offering to them, or they're going to accept it, is I'm also in Goloka Vrindavan. Hey, wait a minute. My Gurudev is in Goloka Vrindavan, even though he's here. So I'm meditating that he's making the offering in his form that I know him, and that I'm just assisting by, you know, putting the plate down, making sure there's flour, making sure the plates are polished. So that's better. But it's still in the category of archan. But then, if while doing, going through the motion of making sure the plate's clean and putting on the boga and putting in new water in the ashram cup, etc., etc., and putting a drop of water on each preparation, making sure there's a tulsi leaf on each preparation. Otherwise, because Krishna says you won't accept it without a tulsi. So that's the externals I'm doing. But then internally, I'm say, for example, I'm meditating on Bhagavad Manjali verses or the works of the Goswamis that describe how in the morning Radharani and the Sakis go there and she cooks for Krishna and then she gives the prasadam to Mother Yasoda who offers it to her, Narayan Chalagram Shila, and then Krishna's meeting with his friends and Nanda Baba, and then what happens with the prasadam after that, which a lot of it is in the songbook. Vajabhaka Tabasala Shigoda. A lot of what's really happening is in that song, in our songbook. So if I'm thinking like that, that means I'm trying to push the right thoughts that match the right moods into my mind. And praying, because there's so many prayers in the songbook, in the Mangalacharni section, Mangalacharni section, in the actual song itself, and other prayers like Sharanagati by Srila Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Galapus Manjali, so many prayers to do those services in real life. So I'm intellectually thinking of the reality, which of course is only my imagination, but that imagination is service. So it's imagination based on what I've heard from the bona fide source. And then I keep practicing, and do all the other stuff that my Gurudev told me to do. And then when he's pleased enough, he, and at the same time weeping into the kirtan, or weeping into my japa, through the songs of the previous acharyas or their prayers, then when Gurudev is pleased, then he makes that realm descend. And then it's called Raghunuga Bhakti, which also has three stages, and that's the stage of bhajan. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. I mean, that answers the question of what's the difference, but how to get from one to the other is another story, isn't it?
Well, by practicing those things, by forcing the mind to think of
the
reality.
Okay, so you're saying to begin with, it's like, first you're not saying I'm offering the art, you're saying Gurudev's offering the arti, but then more advanced than that, you're thinking Lalita's offering the arti.
Or my Gurudev is offering. Or my Gurudev is offering Bhoga in his Manjari form, how he would be doing it in Goloka Vrindavan. But then I have to read a lot and hear a lot so that I can get the information to think about.
That creates the kind of pathways.
Yeah, that creates the pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I hear and the more I read, then the more I can remember. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I add a couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for this mercy to be sent, the first requirement is that we follow our Gurudev strictly. We try to find out how he does it, how he worships the deities, and how he does it. And really find in details how it's done in our Sangha. In this way we can follow his instructions strictly. Otherwise there's no way that bhajan is going to come. So if he has the deities on an altar, we have them on the altar. If he worships the deities on an altar, rather on the floor, we worship on an altar. If he worships the deities in a certain way, like standing up during puja, we stand up during puja. If we don't follow his orders, then there's no way he's going to give us the mercy. And another thing that's absolutely required, we have to try and give up our sense gratification. If we don't give up our sense gratification, no mercy will come. It's like a scale. The more we give up our sense gratification, the more mercy in bhajan will come. But we can't maintain our sense gratification and expect this mercy to come. And we can't do it our own way, the way that we are used to, or the way that we want to do it, my way, and expect Buddha to give any mercy. So we have these two points must be added if we're really serious about bhajan. Sorry.
Thank you.
Just speaking to everyone.
That's fine. If I can add an extra note to that, then I'll call you. If I can add one little extra note, that at the same time, if I'm doing it exactly as I've seen my Gurudev and his representatives doing it, but I'm thinking that I'm so wonderful, and somebody who's not doing it so exactly, but he's thinking I'm nothing and please help me, then that's also balanced into the equation. So Guru, he knows everything. He knows the internal, the external, and he's calculating everything, not just one thing. Like, for example, somebody makes a big opulent temple, and everything is completely pukka, and he thinks, I have created this temple. Immediately he falls down. If he doesn't think my Guru created this temple and I'm nothing, and if I did anything, I got in the way. I'm just like, suppose I gave a totally pukka lecture. Everything was spot on Siddhanta, no speculation. And then somebody comes to me and says, here's $100, or well, how do you call it here?
Pounds.
Here's £100 for your great lecture, for your preaching. Yeah, I sure deserve that £100, because I really did give a good lecture. Let me see how I could use it in my preaching. I do need a new sweater, yeah. Because for my preaching, that way I'll look authoritative. But if I think that I didn't do anything, if anything was said good in this lecture, it was my great day's mercy. And of course the money I just give to him. So many things are weighed in any calculation. But still those are good points. And at the same time, everything is weighed. Yes, what's your name?
Yamuna Bihar.
Is that all right, Maharaj? Huh?
Well, I was going to throw the spanner in the works completely.
Throw the what?
I'm going to throw the spanner
in the
works.
She was in guilty for many years.
Throw the what?
Spanner in the works.
What's that mean?
To have a spin on the
okay.
story. You know, like a mechanism, you stop the mechanism.
Oh, okay.
It's, for example, I'm looking at it that we're coming as conditioned souls to take the mercy of Guru, right? With our limited capacity of accepting the greatness of what Guru is offering. So by the Guru's mercy, surely, we can, with every little service that we do, which is within our capacity, Guru accepts in order to help us along to the path to higher realization. So that we can then aim to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness. So if we've established a very simple daily standard that is kind of suitable to our house and to our life, I feel that Guru accepts because that is what we can offer and that's what we can offer nicely without committing any major offense. And it is manageable for me as a human being to maintain that standard. Rather than aiming for a standard that I cannot reach because I do not have all the knowledge and all the information from the scripture.
Thank you, that was very good. So you're saying that according to our capacity at the moment, whatever we know, whatever bhakti we have, if we do that sincerely, then Gurudev accepts that. At the same time, he'll give us more knowledge at the suitable time. So that we can improve our standard of internal and external.
But that's almost like in the way that we are able to take it, really.
Yeah, he knows where we're at and what we can take at a particular time.
I'm just bringing it up because sometimes I've been a devotee for 35 years,
My
and
goodness.
Sometimes you can get into the trap of feeling so guilty
about
not reaching a standard that should be acceptable by Guru that you drop it altogether. And so it's really important, I feel, through my experience, to just value the moments that I have, that I can give every day in kind of meditation to my deities, and therefore be connected to my Guru, and therefore grow, and it becomes deeper in my consciousness and my heart.
Good.
So that's why I'm sharing it.
Thank you for sharing that. And in that regard, I will tell the story of Srila Prabhupada. One of my god sisters back in the 60s, she was a teenager. I'm 16 or 17. And she wrote Prabhupada a letter that I'm offering cat's tails. You know what a cat tail is? Do you know that? It's not a cat's tail. It's a certain kind of plant that's like ugly with no smell. And she thought it was nice. So Prabhupada said, I'm very happy that you're doing your deity worship with so much devotion. And Krishna will give you more and more intelligence how to serve him. So on one hand, he was accepting her service, happy with her that she was trying, at the same time saying that she'll be able to do better and better, not that she was done perfectly. So he encouraged her, and at the same time, in a very clever and loving way, he said, Krishna will give you more and more intelligence, and then you'll be able to do it better and better. So I think that's what you're saying. That's one thing. Okay. So, are we ready to start? Okay. So today, we'll be discussing, the theme will be different meditations and prayers during kirtan and japa. Of course, a lot of these prayers and meditations can go on during deity worship as well. during dressing the deities, and as Krishna Prabhu brought up, that there's also meditation during offering foodstuffs. So, Prasanthi, why did you want me to show the picture of the lakers?
I was just showing how he gives you instruction at every moment. Relationship.
Oh, so everything is based on a relationship with Guru, like that? So, all the instructions for how to think, I mean, we're so indebted to him that even how to think, what comes out of our minds, are supposed to be controlled by him, not controlled by our past habit since time immemorial. For example, I was once, when I was living at Rupsamath in Gaudiya Mutt, I was with all the devotees circumambulating the altar, and we were all singing Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan, and then we got to Sri Nanda Yasoda Jaya Jaya Gopavan, and meanwhile I'm just thinking about some problem that I have. And then I remembered, oh, Gurudev said just to actually be there in the prayer and pray to that person, and that person will help you. In fact, one of the rules of, or stages of chanting any mantra, and the songs are also mantras, because mantra means that it's not only a prayer, but that it's the actual person, personality himself, is the presiding deity of that mantra. So that mantra is not different from Krishna or Radha or whoever the mantra is about. So one of the stages is called prapati, which means surrendering to the presiding deity of that mantra and not thinking that there's any other existence outside the mantra, because the mantra is not words. Like here, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's so tiny and slow that we didn't even see it. So I think, well, this purple rug is reality, that blue and black pillow is reality, and it's so big and important, whereas the mantra is just this one little tiny thing coming out of my mouth that I can't even see. But this third stage of chanting the mantra is called prapati, means full surrender to the deity of that mantra. Not that, you know, worrying about some problem, and I can't absorb myself in the deity of the mantra right now because I'm too busy thinking of my problem. So surrender means that if I absorb myself in that deity, then how do I absorb myself? I've heard from Guru all about that deity. So the first stage in chanting any mantra, particularly Gayatri mantra, but it applies to Hare Krishna and all mantras, is who is the presiding deity of that mantra? What are his qualities and what is my relationship? Like if I'm chanting the Guru Gayatri mantra. So obviously Guru is the presiding deity, and what are his qualities? What is the mantra saying about him that he does? And what is my relationship with him? And what do I want from him? So all that goes on when I'm chanting I'm Gurudev Swaha, or whatever mantra it happens to be. So all of everything rests on our relationship with Guru. And to make my mind one with his mind, and one with his words. Starting with one with his words, and then following that one with his mind. And when I chant any song, sing any song, or do any japa, not japa, if I sing any song that's written by one of the acharyas, then at the same time, I pray to the acharya that let your words of this song that I'm singing be one, let my heart be one with your words. And when you wrote the song, your heart was in a certain very advanced emotional place. So let my heart be one with your heart. Or make your prayer my prayer, because right now it's just ink on a page for me. But I know I'm supposed to do it, so I'm doing it, and I'm getting some pleasure, particularly by the melody. So please make your prayer into my prayer so that I can feel it and have grief for the what I'm praying for. Grief for Radhanuga Bhakti, grief for serving Radha and Krishna. So everything rests on relationship and prayer. Relationship, having heard from Guru, and then constant prayer. Our Srila Prabhupada said that yoga means to pray to Krishna, I'm fallen, please save me, that's yoga, that's all. And then there are so many varieties of prayers. Okay, so here Gurudev is instructing on how to make the painting. So everything we do, I just got a beautiful letter from Isha Prabhu, where he said, real advancement is when I know that I can only desire something, and then the results of it are up to Guru, how the service comes out, or how my chanting is successful. And then more advanced is to know that even my desire to do the service is the mercy of Guru, or to speak of the fruition of it. So, the platform, all relationships, all hearing, all understanding is Guru. So there Gurudev was telling me how to do a particular painting, what colors to use and things like that. So, another thing to meditate upon that we hear from Gurudev when we're chanting japa or kirtan, we already mentioned the prayers, like prayers by our previous acharyas, like Narottam Das Thakur or Premananda or this, what is it? Bhakti Vinod Thakur for service, and also prayers of glorification. Like there's a prayer glorifying Navadvipa, which we can think about while we're doing kirtan or doing japa. Santi, you remember that?
Navina Sri Bhakti. Mm-hmm. Navina Sri Bhakti.
What's the first word?
Navina.
Navina Sri Bhakti.
Kanaka
Gauru Kirti.
Then? Why'd you pick that one?
On page 6 maybe? Navina Sri Bhakti. Kanaka Gauru Kirti Kirti. Navarendra Sri Sat. Where I can find it. Thank you. I'm embarrassed because I used to say it and know it by heart.
Me too.
And then when you stop for a while, you lose it. So therefore, as Gurudev always says, karti, 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 doing, doing, doing. And then gradually it makes an impression. Like if you're having a rope that's going back and forth, it doesn't make an impression, but then finally it makes an impression on the rock. Navina Sri Bhakti, Navakanaka Gaura Kriti Patim, Navarendra Shreni, Navasura Suri Bhata Balitam. Navina Sri Radha Hari, Rasamayo Kirtana Vidim, Navadvipam Vande, Navakarana Madhyam, Navaruchini. So, this prayer is glorifying Navadvip, where Krishna has appeared in a new color. Everything is new, Nava. Krishna appears in a very new, beautiful golden color, where there are new, ever-folding, beautiful forests and rivers, where Radha and Krishna have given these new moods in kirtan. And this kirtan has a special ras, a special mellow taste in Madhurya ras. That's what Navadvipa is. So Navadvipa is the abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Radha and Krishna. So I can think of that prayer and the meaning, and then pray to Navadvipa to help me. And I could think about the prayer above that, samsara dukkhajalato patita sukhama kodadina kamakarai bhavaditasya yurvasana nigaditasya nirashayasya chaitanya chandra namadehi paravaram. Chaitanya Chandra, O Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm now submerged in the ocean of material existence under a very tight, strong net, and my hands are chained behind my back with the chain of wicked desires. And at the same time, since I can't get out of this net under the water of material existence, the alligators and crocodiles, just imagine if you're under the water, under a net, tight net, with your hands chained behind your back, so you can't even move or just begin to swim up to the top. And at the same time, you're being eaten alive by crocodiles and alligators of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. So, O Chaitanya Chandra, please give me the dust of your lotus feet and deliver me from this. For there are so many beautiful prayers to say during japa and kirtan. And it's also pastimes to remember. I can remember the pictures and the pastimes that go along with it as I'm chanting. With the prayer that I let this pastime enter me and let me enter the pastime. That's how it emerges. So here, and this is one of the line drawings that we did under Gurudev's direction for his book, Gita Govinda. And then later it became a painting, which you'll see next. And here, Krishna knows. You can go to the next. And this was also in Gopi Geet. Krishna knows that Radharani is going to be going to the Jamuna for getting water, so he quote-unquote just happens to be there. And he says to her, oh, I see that you have two very heavy pots. Maybe I can help you with one. So she says, no, thank you. I'm a very chaste wife, and you're just a debaucher, so I'm not interested in speaking with you. So what does that do? It increases Krishna's desire and happiness. And in the Gita Govinda, that's what Gurudev told us, what was happening while we were doing the drawing. But then the painting went in a certain place in the Gita Govinda where Krishna was feeling separation from Radharani, because as we discussed yesterday, Krishna was dancing with all the gopis, and then Radharani left in man, or sulky mood, transcendental loving jealous anger. And then Krishna left, and he went searching for her. And he's becoming more and more absorbed in her, and he can see nothing but her around. And he's dying in grief and separation. So he's becoming so absorbed that he forgets that he's not with her. And their pastimes and her beautiful transcendental form comes into his heart, and he's just absorbed in that. So Gurudev had this place in that part of the Gopi Geet. I'm sorry, the Gita Govinda. Because this is Krishna's absorption in his separation. So in separation there's meeting, and in meeting there's feeling of separation. It's easier to understand how this meeting and separation, because you're thinking of the person and you're forgetting everything external and everything is internal. But for separation in meeting, that is, well, we can understand something of that by fear of imminent separation. But in the transcendental world, Radharani actually feels separation and meeting, and she, you know, beats her chest and weeps bitterly that Krishna is gone, but actually he's sitting right there next to her. So these are all transcendental emotions that, as the more we hear and read, and Pure Bhakti TV is super for that, because it has about 1,000 lectures and about, 1,000 videos and about 4,000 audio lectures of Gurudev. So you can just go to the website www.purebhakti.tv and see one after another. You could even put your computer, suppose you're cooking or cleaning your house, and you just put your computer down with the, on the lecture, and it just goes, and every once in a while you could look at Gurudev and keep cleaning. So it helps with the day, especially since for most everybody, we're not with devotees all the time. So that connects us with the greatest devotees. But along with that, on top of that, we pray. Like Gurudev said, whenever you pick up a book and you're going to read something, then first you pray to, oh my Diksha Guru, oh my Shiksha Guru, and to the Guru Parampara, and to Gaur-Nitai, and to Radha and Krishna, and their all associates, and ultimately to Yogamaya, who's the embodiment of all Krishna's pastimes. But if you could take all of Krishna's unlimited pastimes and make them into a form, if that was possible, that would be Yogamaya. She's his pastime potency. So we pray to all of them that you're my Shiksha Gurus, and you're sitting with me here as I am about to read, or as I'm in the middle of reading something. So please help me to come to the deepest understanding of what I'm reading. So everything again goes back to that relationship. Okay, next. And this, again in the Gurudev's direction. And we were so slow, we could never get it right, because we hadn't done line drawings in many, many years. Like for about 15 years, I hadn't done a line drawing, a pen and ink line drawing. So when Gurudev told us to do it, it was like reaching to the moon. So I kept showing him different tries, and he just look at it and walk away, and that he wouldn't speak to me for a month. And I was showing him different things, and finally when I got it right, but his mercy, then he started, now I'm satisfied, and then he started giving more and more instructions. Of course, if I don't speak to somebody, that's a lot different from him not speaking to somebody, because he's doing something externally, but internally he's doing a whole operation. But if I'm not speaking to somebody, I'm not doing anything internally either. It's just a void out. So here's the painting. And Gurudev said when we almost completed it and showed it to him, that this was even better than Seva Kunj, he said, that one that you saw yesterday. And he was smiling at the Radharani's fingers going like that. And he said when a girl is in mon or in a sulky mood, she scratches the ground with her finger. And then you see the dimple on her elbow? Mm-hmm. That was Gurudev's instruction. So here Radharani is in mon, which is, as we discussed yesterday, one of the four features of separation. And even though they're sitting together, there's still a wall and they can't talk to each other. Or Krishna's trying to talk, but she's not replying. Or she's replying in a way that sounds like a rejection, but it's just to give them both more feeling of separation from each other, which gives more sense of meeting and longing and nourishment to the meeting. It's inconceivable. Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that in the spiritual world, meeting and separation both increase forever and nourish each other.
There's a bird in the background at the top there.
Yeah.
Is that any significance in it?
Maybe there is that I don't know about. But the only one I know about is that everybody's interested. All the living entities, all the creatures in Goloka Vrindavan, they're also, they're not like the ones in the material world, dull, but they're also full of knowledge, full of bliss, eternal, enraptured. Like a bird of Vrindavan is more advanced than a person of Dwarka. He has more relish and more saturation with Krishna and his pastime. So he's just relishing. And when Krishna is crying, weeping in separation from Radha, then even the birds cry also.
So basically that's like an analogy of what's happening right here, right now then.
What do you mean?
Well, we're sort of that lady, she's missing Krishna, and she feels a separation of not being Krishna, where ironically, he's all around me and all around everyone. Mm. And in a way, I am Krishna, but a lower awareness of Krishna.
So you're suggesting that this is just like a teaching.
Yeah, that's where it is.
It is a teaching, certainly, and it's also real.
Yeah.
Because we are Krishna qualitatively, and quantitatively, we're different from Krishna. That makes us be called Divanaksajeev. That is, Krishna has two kinds of expansions. One is called Svamsa, which means plenary expansion. They're almost as great as Krishna, except for a few things. And then there's the Divanaksajeev, the living entity who's infinitesimal. Krishna, even though he has a form, he's infinite. And we are infinitesimal. Just like my finger is an infinitesimal part of my body. It's nothing but my body, but it can't claim that it's my whole body. So we're part of Krishna, surely, and we're also eternal persons. Not that we're just a piece of his finger. We're also eternal individual persons. And we're also his energy. And he is the energetic source. So yes, you're correct. We are Krishna, and at the same time, we're not the full Krishna, we're just little atomic parts of Krishna.
Yeah, a lower awareness.
Huh?
A lower awareness of being Krishna.
Well, even when we have a higher awareness, even if we have the topmost awareness, we can never become the full Krishna. We can become realized that we're his eternal servants. But now I'm on a lower awareness of the fact that I'm his eternal servant. Then when I become completely perfect, then I'm on a high awareness that I'm his eternal servant. But I can never become full Krishna, because full Krishna can never fall into illusion, because he's the supreme complete being, and he's the controller of Maya. And the difference between, one of the differences between him and us, is that I am controlled by Maya, or this illusory world, and he's the controller of Maya. Maya is just one of his many energies.
Hmm. All thoughts, words, and actions come from Krishna.
Right.
Yeah.
And even the bad thoughts come from Krishna, but not Krishna directly, but come from his illusory energy.
Which is Krishna.
Which is also his manifestation, but not the full Krishna, not the person Krishna.
So that makes all thoughts, words, and actions perfect.
In the ultimate sense. In the ultimate sense. In the sense that Krishna created this material world, and just like a blacksmith, goldsmith, he takes the gold and he, what do you do with gold?
Alchemy.
You pound it?
Hammer
it, you hammer the gold, and then all the impurities come out, and then you have your pure gold. So, it's explained in Jiva Dharma that anyone, those who think that they are the full Krishna and want to imitate him, and they want to be the enjoyer rather than the enjoyed, then Krishna sends them to the material world where we are hammered on the anvil of Maya's hammer to purify us to understanding that we're Krishna's eternal
slave. I feel the hammer. I'm feeling it all the time.
Great, good talk, thank you. Next. Okay, so this is a very nice pastime, and at the moment this is on the cover of a book called Chamatkar Chandrika. Do you have that book here?
Sure.
Do you have several copies?
Well, several, no. Only one, I think.
One.
Maybe two.
Okay, so if you want to look at that, Keshwar Prabhu has that here. Or otherwise, if you want to get any, the Ganga Matas have.
I have some copies.
And the Whales Matas have. And Maharaj has also. So anyway, this is one of the four pastimes in a book called Chamatkar Chandrika, which means a moonbeam of sheer astonishment. So these are four different pastimes of, like, pranks, astonishing pranks in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And in this particular one, Radharani is in Man, again, and she's not speaking with Krishna. But Krishna is always looking for the ways and means to win Radharani's favor. Although she actually is nothing but Krishna, she's Krishna's power. But as we discussed yesterday from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the one becomes two in order to enjoy amorous sports. So Krishna is always thinking of the ways and means to win her favor. So here, he's coming to her palace. She's the princess. Her father is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And there's two great kings in Vrindavan. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, her father, and Nanda Maharaj, that is Krishna's father. So Krishna goes to her palace, disguised as a singer from Mathura, and he goes with his cousin sister to Radharani's house, and her name is Kundalata. So Kundalata brings this ravishingly beautiful teenage quote-unquote girl to Radharani and says, Kalavati from Mathura, her name is Kalavati, that means the artful girl who knows all the arts, the performing arts and all the arts. Her name is Kalavati and she's been very eager to meet you. She's from Mathura and she was a very good singer. So when Brihaspati, who is the priest of the demigods in the higher planets, Brihaspati came with some of his students to Earth. And he was teaching them to sing, and he noticed that Kalavati was the best of all, of even more than his students. So he took her, of course this is all a lie by Kundalata, just to bring Krishna to Radha. If she knew it was him, she wouldn't speak to him. So then Brihaspati, this lie is going on, Brihaspati brought Kalavati back to his heavenly planet, and he trained her for a year how to sing. And then now she has come back, and she's the best singer of all. And she wants to please you by singing for you. So Radharani gives permission, and she's enchanted by Kalavati's beauty, but she doesn't know that it's Krishna, it's in disguise. So then Krishna sings so beautifully with the sweetest voice that Radharani's heart melts and she begins to weep. And Lalita and Vishakha, their hearts also melt, and the other gopis. So then Radharani says, I want to give you a present. because now I've accepted you as my new Saki, my new girlfriend, Kopi girlfriend. So as Radharani was, I want to give you my own locket as a gift to show you that I'm accepting you as my intimate Saki. So as Radharani was putting on the necklace, she was getting a sense that this is not a Gopi, is this Shyam? Is this Krishna? And in the meantime, Lalita and Vishakha whisper to her, or by eyes they tell her that this is Shyam, and let's do a trick on him. Because they, as discussed before, they can discuss things with their eyes. So they gave that message to Radharani, and now Radharani says, but why should I give you only my necklace? I want to give you a whole outfit. So we want to dress you. And then Krishna starts shying away and moving backwards. He says, I just remember to have an appointment. So Radharani says, well, why? Why are you so shy? We're all girls after all. So then the gopis grab Krishna from both sides and they forcibly took off his veil and his choli, to give him a new choli. And meanwhile, two big flowers fall down from the choli. So you'd think that Krishna would admit his, that his fraud was exposed. But instead, he just picked up the flowers very indignantly and walked away. So where did he go? He went to Radharani's mother-in-law, Chitila. Who wanted to hear about Chitila?
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter?
Yeah.
Is she here?
Yeah.
Okay. You can tell her later. So she went to Chitila, Radharani's mother-in-law, and said, crying, weeping, and saying, I'm Radharani's girlfriend from when she was, before she was married. And where does Vrishabhanu Maharaj live? Varsana. And I don't know, I must have said something to her, and she just hasn't been speaking to me for years. And I'm so upset and so full of grief. Can you help me? And Jutila also doesn't know that it's Krishna. And then Jutila brings back this false gopi and starts chastising Radharani and the other gopis. Then why haven't you spoken to your dear friend? So then Radharani says, it wasn't me that didn't talk to her. It was, I'm not mad at her at all. It was Kundalata. She's the one who won't speak to her. And if you don't believe me, then you could just ask and just tell Kundalata that give her a big embrace to prove it. Because Kundalata says, what? These are lies. It's not me. It's her. And then Radharani said, well, just tell her to embrace her if she's not mad at her. So Krishna and Kundalata won't embrace each other because they're cousins. They wouldn't do that. So Kundalata wouldn't do it, and Radharani said, yeah, that's proof. So then Jatila said, okay, well, you just, now I understand everything. So you two just stay together, and you can reminisce old times. So everybody left, and there was Radha and Krishna to reminisce and enjoy their divine pastimes together. So that's his story. So here Krishna is singing very beautifully, pretending he's a girl. In many, many pastimes, he pretends he's a girl. For example, what time is it? Oh, it's 10 to 12. 10 to 12?
Probably. I've been speaking for an hour and 14 minutes.
Hour and what?
15 minutes.
Okay. So we'll end at 12. So here, Krishna's disguised as a celestial damsel, a damsel from the heavenly planet. And she's not in Mon that day, but he purposely goes to Radharani's palace, knowing exactly when her in-laws won't be home. And he tells her, he's looking very sad, and covering his face, and saying, I'm a demigod from the heavenly planets, and I saw how Krishna left you in the Rasa dance, and I just want to say that you're so highly qualified and beautiful, but you made a mistake to love this terrible person, Krishna. And the reason that Krishna was saying that in the form of the demigoddess is that he wanted to hear from Radharani all about her pure love for him, which he never gets to hear otherwise because, as we discussed yesterday, praying is very crooked. And so the love is always expressed in a crooked way. Not that I love you, but it's expressed in so many indirect ways. And that way the love continues to grow unlimitedly. And Gurudev gives the example that if you have a camphor, a lit camphor, it's very fragrant. But if that camphor is in the doorway, then all the fragrance will evaporate out the door. But if the camphor, the lit camphor, is behind closed doors, then the fragrance becomes more and more saturated and intense. So therefore, love is never expressed directly. So, but here now, Radharani is telling about directly about her pure love, and Krishna is relishing. And then he asks her, "Well, if Krishna loves you so much, like you say, then how come he left you? How come when he left you, you started crying? If you say that you know the mind of Krishna, that he always loves you more than anyone, why did he leave you and why did you cry? If you know Krishna's mind, that he loves you." So she said, "Well, sometimes I forget that I know everything. And that makes the pastime more sweet." So then the Krishna damsel disguised Krishna said, "Well, if you and Krishna are one, that it's not even that you know his mind and he knows yours, but you're saying even more than that, the two of you are one. So if the two of you are one, then if you would meditate on him right now, he would just appear, right?" So then she got a little shy and said, "Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed by thinking about him and then he doesn't come. But I'll try." So she meditated and prayed to God, not Krishna, that, you know, if I'm sincere at all, then please let Krishna manifest by my meditation. So in the meantime, while her eyes were closed, Krishna immediately took off his girl clothes, and then he's in his own dress as Krishna. And he tells Lalita and Vishaka and the other gopis, "Don't say anything." So then when Radharani opens her eyes and sees Krishna standing right there, she just started weeping. Oh, it worked. And then she said, "Where's that demigoddess?" And Krishna said, "Demigoddess? What are you talking about? You expect me to believe that a demigoddess came from heaven to earth just to see you?" She said, "Yes, and you have to find her." So then everybody started looking for the demigoddess. And Radha and Krishna went inside the palace to look for her. And the other sakis went home. And they had important things to do. Now I'll ask, are there any more?
I had a couple of Govardhan ones in there, but...
Alright, now we'll just show you some Govardhan pictures.
Mm-hmm.
See, I thought there was an evening class tonight, but there's not. So we're going to try and sneak in a couple of spots reliefs. that a team of us did in Srila Gurudev's Govardhan Temple. And incidentally, he explained that what to speak of the pictures, the whole temple, the whole very beautiful building, temple, palace, for the deities, all manifested from his own heart. So here, these are about 7 feet wide and a few feet high. And they're way up, like they may start, you see where the ceiling is? Or just
higher.
A little bit lower?
No,
they
higher.
Start on that level and they go up
higher
than that. So when you come to the Govardhan Temple, you have to kind of look like that. So they started from the line drawings under his direction, and then we gave those line drawings to a Bengali sculptor group who made the cast in white, the shapes in plaster and stone actually, not plaster. And then we painted it after that. So this is Krishna challenging Radharani and the gopis that they must pay a tax if they want to pass. But it's just like boys and girls, they talk about nothing. These are transcendental, absolute truth nothing. And this is the gopis retaliating because he said, I'll tax you for your yogurt. And then, a couple of days later, all the gopis, thousands of gopis got together, and when there's just a few coward boys, they went to Dhani Vartan Kund, which is the place of retaliation, and they forcibly dressed Krishna up as a girl, and then they put a yogurt pot on his head, and threw a rock at the yogurt pot, and then the yogurt pot broke, and the yogurt went all over Krishna. That way the devotees defeated Krishna, and that's what he likes best. This is God's favorite thing, to be defeated by the gopis and to serve him.
And you said earlier about yogurt.
Yeah.
Is it something to do with a sexual thing when they put it on his head?
No, the other yogurt that I talked about earlier has nothing to do with this yogurt.
Oh, it's different.
Except that
yogurt.
It's a perverted reflection.
Oh, okay.
Of the yogurt. Everything in this material world is a perverted reflection of its reality in the spiritual world. This world is just like a reflection of a tree in a muddy river. You have a beautiful tree with flowers and fruits on the bank of a river. And then in the river, you try to get a fruit or a flower, but it's just muddy water. So here, all of our, as you said, you felt like you were on the goldsmith's anvil. So that's what everybody's experiencing in this world. And frustration is trying to enjoy something that's not there. You try to enjoy the flower, it's only muddy water. The fruit, it's only muddy water. But the guru, bona fide guru, he comes to give the process and the mercy how to attain the reality, real enjoyment.
Hmm, this.
So it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Tasmad Guru Prabhaje Tat Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam Shabde Paresha Nishnatyam Brahmani Upasamashram. One should try to learn the truth. One who's actually inquisitive to attain the highest benediction and be free from all miseries and attain the highest benediction, it's incumbent upon him to approach a bona fide spiritual master and take initiation from him. And the qualification of that spiritual master is that he's fully learned in all the scriptures and can answer any question. And he's free from all material desires and anxieties. And he's realized in the scriptures the point of having realized Krishna. It's like, I realize your presence because you're in the same. Is that it? And this is another Bhashuri, very lovely in person, of Krishna surrendering to Radharani after the whole yogurt incident. You see the broken pot over there above Krishna. Krishna surrendering to Krishna, however, apologizing and surrendering. The Radharani is going like this, which means Kalyana Bhavatu, Mangal Bhavatu. May all auspiciousness be good. Bless you. And this is holy. Radha and Krishna, both of these coward boys, squirting each other with colors. And what they're really doing is touching each other's hearts, squirting each other's hearts with the colors of their own love. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
So these are all, you know, according to the theme of the discussion, these are all things to meditate on, and these are the prayers, there's thousands of prayers, both in the morning and at night, there are thousands to remember and pray. And this way we enter into bhajan, which helps us to enter into our own reality, our own liberation from illusion. There's one verse, mukti hipa anyata rupa svarupena vyavastiti. Real mukti means to realize our own form, the Lord's form, and the service relationship in Goloka Vrindavan. So any questions or comments?
I wonder if you'd be able to explain to me
Swarup
Shakti, the three divisions of Swarup Shakti, and how they manifest also in the material world and in the spiritual world.
So Lalita Saki is asking how, if I'm right, to explain Swarup Shakti, that is Krishna's complete intrinsic internal power, who's ultimately Srimati Radhika. And what are the three aspects of that Swarup Shakti and how they relate to each other in this world and in the spiritual world?
Yes.
Okay. So Swarup Shakti is Krishna's complete Shakti, complete power. And that Swarup Shakti has three functions and three divisions, or three aspects. Three and three. Three means there's the internal Antaranga Shakti, the internal energy of just the whole spiritual world, and then there's the Tattvastha Shakti, that's the marginal living entity, that's us, who can either serve, has the choice eternally to serve Krishna or Maya. And then there's Maya Shakti, or Bahiranga Shakti, which is the external energy of illusion and delusion. And then a cross that's going down, and then across there's Sandini, the aspects. Sandini, Sambit, and Padini. Sandini is the existential potency of the Lord, the potency of existence and maintenance, like taking the boat and his paraphernalia and the bodies of the associates, including Krishna's body. And Sambit potency is potency of knowledge, the potency by which Krishna knows himself and others know him. And then Vadini Shakti, the potency by which Krishna tastes bliss, is bliss, and gives bliss. And they're all manifestations of Swarup Shakti. But it's not that Swarup Shakti is independent, it's around the Krishna's desire. So by Tattva, Radharani's subordinate has a Shakti. And by Rus, we can see that she's in the superior Rus or pastime, so relationship. She's Krishna likes her to be in a superior situation. Demo? Or no?
Yes, it's
you can read about it.
Thank you.
If you want to read the details of it in expanded form, you can read Gurudev's Sri Shikshastakam. You know, the eight prayers that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote and the elaborate commentaries of each prayer by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Gurudev, and maybe by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur too. And so in the commentaries, there's that description.
Okay.
Of the three and three.
Thank you very much.
Any one last question? Radhi, do you want to say anything? Huh?
Later.
Okay. Anybody else? Any guests?
I just wanted to say how beautiful I think the pictures are.
How what?
How beautiful the pictures are. I don't really understand the stories very, very well. You know, I'm quite new to the rest, really affected by the paintings, and they're very beautiful.
Thank you. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah.
Oh, okay.
So even I don't understand the stories because I may think that I understand them because I can relate to experiences that I've had in this world, but they're nothing like this world. So we're all part of that limitation. And that's why we have the process of bhakti, the chanting and the taking the prasadam, reading the books, taking shelter of a bona fide guru and following the process so that we can understand and real understanding. The pinnacle of understanding is when you're experiencing something. Like, I know that I understand that if I'm pricked by a needle, it will hurt. That's one level of understanding. If I'm pricked by a needle and it hurts, that's real understanding. So when we go there and experience it, after taking to the process, and that's our natural constitutional position. So I can't be happy until I'm understanding this through the process, not by intelligence, but through the process of bhakti. So I'm glad that you brought up that most essential understanding. And yes, the paintings help us to understand just by their existence, because they give us spiritual pious credits, even if we don't understand what the picture's about. That's why Gurudev wants every human being to have one, even if he's a atheist or religious or mediator or murderer or anybody, and they'll all get purified. So maybe when the devotees come to Kartik, if hopefully we've printed more, we can take a bunch back. Yeah, and they make the best presents for bar mitzvahs, births, birthdays,
yeah.
Other holidays, housewarmings, just if you want to show somebody you like them or to thank them, to go into the hospital to visit somebody, on all occasions to make the best present. Keep that in the books. Yeah.
I was just going to say that looking at the pictures.
What's your name again?
Yamuna Bihari.
Yamuna Bihari. Yeah.
She's the ex-wife of Chitraketu.
Oh, very nice to meet you. Okay.
When I look at your paintings, I very much see the highest respect between the feminine and the masculine. And it's just really Krishna representing the highest respect of the creative energy, which is Radharani. And that in itself is just so healing for our hearts of the conditioned souls from this planet, where we maybe have not experienced that ourselves. So really, it is a beautiful gift for anyone, because just looking at it, you heal the heart.
That's so true. Thank you for that realization. And since you're Prabhupada's disciple, right? Ish.
I joined in 1977, and Prabhupada was still on the planet.
Right.
And I was there when he passed away. I was actually,
you were actually
in the
there.
Temple. Yeah.
My goodness.
I was there with the devotees.
Wow.
But I didn't get initiated because he was very ill towards the end. So I got initiated on his behalf.
Okay.
By Jayatirtha.
So you are like a disciple.
Yeah.
So he said in the beginning, in 1966, that these pictures will be like the rain after the drought on Monday night, and everyone will be attracted. And he said they're windows to the spiritual world. So that confirms what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay, so we'll end here then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any more hands, so we'll end here and have a little kirtan.
Pujapa Shimati.
That's not going today. Shula Gurudev ki jai. Shula Prabhupada ki jai. Gorpandi.
Thank you for your wonderful service.
Prabhupada Gurudev, mercy on us.
Thank you for coming. Blessed to come here. Good.
Can I just make an announcement that 6 p.m. will be a program at Gurudev's new mat in Glastonbury of 53 arches away. Anyone who's still around, welcome to come to some kirtan and light harikata.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Anistan Prasad is cooking now, so it's going to be maybe in 40 minutes. So
okay.
We'll stay,
we'll
get
some.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And also remember, it's a whole week donation there. Please, to get
for
to Shamara Marani.
Is traveling expenses.
Well, actually, every penny goes to Gurudev because he paid for the Santa's ticket, so all the money goes back to Gurudev. Yeah.
Please.
Are there any pictures available for fun?
I think we have a couple left. We brought them a couple of days ago, yesterday, and most everything went. And also, Radhe has some.
Yeah.
And we have a couple, so if you want. Visanti, the girl who was doing the movies. Also, you weren't here last night, right?
I was.
You were. So we have a ton of pictures in the Gopi Keep that I was explaining last night.
If you still got copies of the Gopi.
Yeah, we have 23 or so left, if anybody else can. I think they also make a guest present.
Yeah.
Okay. So anybody would like to do a kirtan?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
tradition.